in our spare time this week, that was a little bit of a joke, because we don't ever have any in Holy Week, but we were looking at pictures of previous Easters in our lives, and there was a neat one I found where I'm about Sam's age, and I'm at my Grandma Tony's house, and I'm surrounded by these inflatable bunnies that are taller than I am, and it was really a special memory to just remember Grandma Tony. She passed about 6 or 8 years ago, and now that Sam is that age, I just thought how much she would love to spend time with him. Grandma Tony was a huge influence on my life. I think she taught me to be cynical. That was her greatest gift, I think, she gave me. No, but she would always take care of me. She was the kind of go-to when I was sick, going, you know, I didn't go to school one of those days. She would always take care of me. Grandma Tony was in a bowling league. I think all of our grandparents were in bowling leagues, right? But Grandma Tony was in this special senior citizen league that had all these little incentives. I'm sure they gave you a discount on the weird looking shoes, and they would give you free drinks at the coffee shop there. And one of the things that they did every week is they gave everyone in the bowling league, the senior citizen bowling league, 2 tokens to the arcade. Because every 80-year-old I know loves the arcade. But you know, all the different little games, you can go play whack-a-mole, and they have little grabber machines and skee-ball and all of that kind of stuff. So of course what she did, and I'm assuming that all of the grandparents in that league did, was that they saved all of the tokens. So she had this huge bag of tokens, and when I was sick 1 week from school, every year or so we would go and we would use these tokens. And it just was so awesome to know we could be playing all of these games. But she held onto the bag. And we would play a game, and you know, my game would be over, and I would look over, and she would take 2 more and put them in. So I knew that I had just enough every single time to play the game. It was awesome. It was so fun, and I remember this going on for a long, long time, and doing it multiple years, and then, you know, hundreds of dollars of tokens, and I win a Matchbox car or something like that. But I just remember that experience. And then this week was Logan's birthday party, our little nephew Logan, and they went to a trampoline park, which was awesome, and it was so exciting to watch these kids bouncing off the walls. Literally, the trampolines were on the walls, and they would bounce around. But one of the cool things there is that they had one of those old-timey arcades from when I was a little kid. They had the basketball shooting game and skee ball and a Terminator shoot 'em up game where everyone has this giant multicolored rifle and you're shooting at robots and all sorts of stuff that every kid should enjoy. And the thing about this, though, was it was really just a staging area for the jumping. And the unique experience that we had there was that all of the games were free. All of the spots where you could put the token in were boarded up, and the games just kept on recycling over and over. And I walked in, and I was so excited, and I had to push some kids out of the way, but I finally got to play. And you know, it was just so cool. I was there, and you know, I just got to play the games over and over, and I was playing the basketball one over and over, which I'd never waste my money on anything athletic as a kid. But now it's free, right? So here I am just shooting, and I'm breaking my record every time, and it's exciting, and I'm having so much fun. And then I try lefty for a while, and it just keeps recycling, and I get to play over and over again, and then I get to play over and over and over and over again, and you know, I'm just doing different things like shooting into other people's baskets at that point. And you know, after a while, I just kind of, in the middle of a game, while it's still counting down, I'd go to the snack machine and you know, just stop playing, because, well, it just kept on going. You know, and I just remember I was shooting robots with my brother-in-law during one of the games, and I just looked over at him and I said, you know, if I know that it's just going to keep going, or if I know that there's no value, it's just not worth it, is it? I mean, we still shot a lot of robots and stuff, but there was something about the fact that I didn't see that it kept going. I knew it was there. It was just indulgent. It was like going to a hometown buffet or something. It was just all out there, and I just knew it would just keep going. It was just so indulgent, it lost all joy. Now, our gospel readings today, and Father Don and I have talked about this, I think probably every year at Easter, there's just something almost dissatisfying about the resurrection appearances. Is that fair to say as a priest? Watch for lightning. But, you know, if you just come once a year, you've got to be thinking, these guys are just hung up on this. They must talk about this every week. But really, there's something almost anticlimactic about them. Because, you know, this moment of the crucifixion, everything is leading up to this moment on the hill. We talked about this on Good Friday, that the whole story is this tapestry, and it's all leading to this one moment for all of the strings to be tied together at the crucifixion. And there's you know, an earthquake that happens, and the sky goes dark, and the veil of the temple is torn in two, and John Wayne says, truly, this was the Son of God. And it's just this incredible moment. And then on Sunday morning, it's a little bit of a different experience, isn't it? It's like the crucifixion at first, you know, it's so powerful, and then the resurrection, it's almost just alluded to. You know, an empty tomb, a stone rolled away, grave clothes folded up. These are interesting experiences, and I'll tell you what I want. I'll tell you what I want. I want a big Super Bowl resurrection experience. I want fog machines. I want laser shows. I want a big deal. I want confetti and trumpets. I want a press conference afterwards with the winners and the losers. And the losers can say, well, I guess I was wrong. And all of this kind of stuff. And just a major moment of triumph that doesn't seem to come at first. No, it's a quiet moment, isn't it? One of my favorite words in the whole world is heliogabulin. Has anybody ever used that in a sentence? Me neither, but I like to talk about it. Heliogabulus was an emperor in Rome. There was never like an emperor Biff. They're all named something cool. But Heliogabulus was one of the later emperors. And when he was an emperor, there was this real craving in Rome for roses. Everyone loved roses. It was this big deal, and you showed your wealth by having the best roses. And so one time, Heliogabulus has this banquet. And as people are eating, a false roof comes down, it separates, and he has servants up there tossing rose petals at the people. What an incredible moment. You're just sitting there with the emperor and rose petals are falling and they just keep falling and keep falling and keep falling and keep falling. And after a while, this thing that was so wonderful starts to build up under people's legs and they start to fill up the room till eventually there are reports of people almost suffocating on the indulgence of these rose petals, filling their lungs and filling it up, the room up, so that they can't even breathe. So the word heliogabulus means to be indulgent to the point of detriment. And I think that there's something in that word that we should learn today. Because in these resurrection appearances, the experience is far from heliogabulin. And now, if you want to sound really smart and pretentious, you can go to all of your friends and they say, tell us about the resurrection. And you can say, well, it was far from heliogabulin. But if you think about it, they're almost sparse. You know, it's just, they're quiet moments. And if I had to think of a word that sort of knits together all of these early morning resurrection experiences, it would just be enough. Just enough. Mary has enough of an experience of an open tomb that she goes and gets the disciples. They hear enough of that story that it inspires a curiosity in them that they run to the tomb. And they see the grave clothes folded, and that's enough for them to believe. That's the key to the whole resurrection. Jesus, in that morning, gives just enough for them to believe. And then, of course, there's this moment where Mary is weeping and hearing his name, hearing him say, Mary, is enough that she knows it's him, that she knows he's changed, that he's there and alive again. It's enough. And then that's it. And then later on in the day, when the disciples are walking toward Emmaus, running away from the truth, Jesus meets them and he shares enough of the story. He walks with them and shares enough of the story that they invite him in. Please, please come in. And when he breaks the bread, he knows it's enough for them to believe and run back to Jerusalem. These stories are stories of just enough to satisfy us, but not to overindulge us. What would it mean if God just dumped it all out there? Well, first, I think our heads would explode. This is a moment in history that's never happened before. A man comes back to life, and not just any man, but God on earth comes back to life. And if the Super Bowl of resurrection happens, like I say, all of our brains would explode because we're not ready for it. God is an incredible steward of grace that morning because he gives them just enough to keep them going. Isn't that what we say? Daily bread? We don't need an all-you-can-eat buffet. We need the daily bread. Because when he gives us enough, we keep coming back. We know he can be trusted. And our faith becomes something more, something transformational for us. And so when he gives us enough, we know he can be trusted. We know that we can follow. Isn't that the whole way that his teaching goes? From the very beginning, come and see, come and follow. Isn't that the way of a shepherd? To lead to a certain spot. See, on that Easter morning, God gives us just enough to keep going. And I have to imagine that Mary, years later, when she's broken and tired and doesn't know if she can go on, she remembers when he calls her name, and it's just enough to keep her going. And when John is on the island of Patmos, exiled and left rotting, remembering the folded clothes is enough. Enough to keep going. And when Peter is being crucified for loving Jesus, he remembers the empty tomb, and that's enough. That's enough. This is God's way, isn't it? Just continually leading us along and shepherding us, showing us the value each time. What Jesus does in that morning is give enough, enough to believe. Next week, we'll read about Thomas. He actually says, this is what I need to believe. And God gives him just enough to believe so that Thomas rightly says, my Lord and my God. So if you're here waiting for the fanfare, the fog show, the laser lights, the triumphant entry, it's coming. It's coming. That's when he comes back. But on Easter and every day after, he gives us just enough, just what we need to believe, to trust, to be transformed. And I truly believe that everyone who is honest and sincere has to say that God has given them just enough each day. God is an incredible steward of grace. And if we are there and open to receive it, God will give us everything that we need. Enough. Enough to satisfy. You know, he could have done his resurrection any way that he wanted, and he chose this way because he knows the hearts of his children. He knows what we need, and he gives us exactly what we need each time. The resurrection is this moment when he gives us exactly what we need. More than anything else, we need life. We need life to the full. We need life in abundance. But if it's just for this life, we're pitiful. Isn't that what Paul says today? But we know, in fact, that Jesus is raised from the dead, and that's what changes us forever. And now that enough is more than enough, because it keeps us going. It prepares us. It transforms us here. But it's enough to save us too. It's knowing that we have the hope to go on, to endure. He encourages us forward because we know we're going somewhere. We know that we have life on the other side. We know there's hope. We know there's more than enough. That's what today is all about. And if you want more, if you need more, keep coming. Keep following. Keep going where he leads you. This is a day of life, of newness, and enough to follow, enough to see him and trust him and know that he's truly alive. Let's pray.